Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening and welcome back to another radio show of Sunday Night Live. I'm so excited. I tell you what, God is on the move, and He's been on the move this weekend. And I'm so excited because of the guests. And here I am, Jim. I'm excited again. I'm excited about these. I guess we need to... it's just the way it is. I just
never known you when you weren't excited.
But isn't that the way it is?
We're
supposed to be excited about the things of God.
Absolutely.
And so we've had an opportunity this weekend to listen to Leanne Hart and Meg Lynch. I had to look at their names because this will come later out in the show, but because of what we call you, Meg, I won't go into that yet. But ladies, I want to welcome you here tonight. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us. We're tickled to be here. This is like spontaneous. I love it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're all about that. That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I was really excited to hear. We had a women's conference this weekend at the A Mile South, which I'm so thankful for them, Kim Angeli and her crew, that she was willing to put that together. So all of us women, and then they contacted you guys. But when I saw your names, I was like, oh yeah, I'm so excited, because last year I actually met you guys at youth camp. You actually came and spoke at youth camp for Cornerstone's youth camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was, it was pretty exciting. It was something we planned for, and it was out in the middle of nowhere, and we just felt the presence of God in the middle of nowhere at this really amazing camp and met amazing people. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yes. And so we were, I mean, you two ladies are just like sisters already. I mean, as soon as I met you guys at camp, I was like, man, this is like family right away. Within 5 minutes, I was like, y'all are mine. I'm going to claim you as mine. And so that's why I was so excited that you guys came back. And one of the things that you ladies, you play the guitar and you sing. And so you actually have been leading praise and worship, and you also brought the word this weekend.
We did. Yeah, it's what we do.
That's what you do.
We just kind of do whatever the good Lord just puts on somebody else's heart. A lot of times we just accept the invitation. We're asked to do, and we just try to respond in a way that would be pleasing to Him.
Yes, and that is so good. And that's all about God being on the move. And in that song where it says, when it says, send me, here I go.
Yeah.
So guess what? Thank you for going when someone asks you to go. And so we appreciate that. So anyway, I wanted to go to the camp. And so this was last year, church camp. And you ladies, I think one of the very first songs you sang was Let Me Tell You About My Jesus. And I think at that time for me, I don't know if it was popular then. I can't remember if it was new or what, but I really hadn't heard it very much. Mm-hmm. But when you ladies sang that song, I had to go home and I had to download that song. And you know how, like back in a teenager, you just play it over and over and over, and it's like a broken record.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's what I did. So I just want to know, would you ladies be willing to play Let Me Tell You About That Jesus for us?
Absolutely. Yeah. It became sort of the theme song for last year for every camp.
Yeah.
Because every kid caught fire of that song, and it was just, it was overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, and this song is by Ann Wilson, and when when we heard it, and then Leanne looked up the, you know, the where it came from and where her heart was behind when she wrote it. And the story was that she had lost her brother, I think, and she had never written before. She had never really sang, you know, Christian songs before at all, but she had gone
or
through
sang
this.
Yeah. At all. I think it was very new. The whole thing was new.
Yeah. And she had went through this heartbreaking, you know, trial in her life, and what she got out of that was this, let me tell you about my Jesus. And the words are so good when you just listen, because it's, there's no life that it doesn't apply to.
That's
you
right.
Know? Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. That's right.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, and rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tears from broken dreams and wasted years, until the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. All the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who could work it all for your good? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my Jesus change your life.
Amen, hallelujah. Let my Jesus change your life. And I tell you, when I heard that again, I just... God has done so many things in our life, and I know in your life as well. And as we are talking about that, would you ladies just kind of share a little bit about how you two came together, and a little bit about yourselves, and maybe even, I'm going to still call you Meg for a minute, but then eventually, Meg, maybe you need to go into a little bit about what you go by. But this is such it's just a cool story, and these ladies are just amazing, and to listen to them talk about what God has done in their life. God wants to do that in your life as well. He's no respecter of persons, and so we want to encourage you that whatever it is that God has laid on your heart, He wants that to come to pass. And so, all right, go ahead, ladies. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I think we've got to get to the fresh part of that story, which is how Meg became Bert.
I know. And, you know, that's all I know is Bert. And so I'm like, I'm trying so hard.
Isn't it so weird? Like, my kids don't even call her Megs. I don't even know if they know that's her real name.
And that's so here I'm like, okay, what's her name again? And I had to look on the paper.
It's funny because I have to, like, discern if it's a formal gathering, you know, if I should introduce myself as Meg, because sometimes if I introduce myself as Bert, I get looked at real funny. But so I'm originally from Lebanon, Oregon, and it's a small town in Oregon, and I was born and raised there, and I had known of JW and Leanne, and Leanne posts on Facebook devotional videos. And so when I was probably about 17, I started watching her devotional videos, and I watched them all. And the Lord just laid on my heart that I was going to go spend the summer with them in Marietta, Oklahoma. So the distance between Marietta and Lebanon, Oregon, was about 2,000 miles, and it's 30 hours by car. And
pretty significant.
Yeah, about 4 hours by plane. I mean, it's a good gap between and.
And one thing I need to know is, did Leanne even know you existed?
She did not. Yeah.
So this lady who you've never met.
Right.
You're going to go spend the summer with.
All right. Yes, because God told me so. And so her and her family. And so anyhow, I just had that impressed upon my heart when I was about 17. And so I told my parents, and I'm really, really close with my family, and they're all in Oregon. And I was not one to be like, I'm just, you know, going to leave the house after I graduate or whatever. I was not planning on leaving. And so when I told them, God told me I was going to go spend the summer in Oklahoma, they were like, that's such a great dream, you know, because
that's so sweet.
That's so sweet.
Oh,
very
honey,
supportive.
You're so sweet.
Yes.
You're
very
so
supportive. But they were like, yeah, that's not going to happen, but it's very cute, you know? And so anyhow, fast forward, I prayed about it for about a year. And, so when I was 18, I see a post on Leanne's Facebook page about a conference at their church, and we reach out, and my mama got in touch with her, and Leanne had invited us to come stay at their house during that weekend that we were there. So she invited total strangers from 2,000 miles away.
I was going to say,
though,
we're still
away.
At the back part.
Yes.
She still doesn't know who you
she
are.
She still doesn't know who I am.
Still
she still,
no.
Yes, she invites.
I have no idea that God has spoken.
Yes, God has spoken. She has no idea. As far as she knows, we just want to come for this conference. So she invites us to stay instead of staying at a hotel. And so we fly into DFW, drive to Marietta, and when we roll up in her driveway, it's time for her to go to worship practice at church. So she loads us up like it's nothing, you know, and just kind of takes us in, makes us feel like family right away. And she didn't know that I played guitar or sang, or that God had told me that I was going to go spend the summer with them. And so we got to plan. During that visit, we sat down around the table and played a couple songs together, and she said, I travel for ministry. And why don't you come spend the summer with us, and you can travel with me and help me lead worship.
Oh, cool.
And so that was so neat that God had not only spoken to my heart, and as I prayed on it for a whole year, that he had, you know, that had come to pass, because he spoke to her heart as well. And she heard and listened and took me in. And so now that was 5 years ago.
That
so,
was 5 years
never
ago.
Never ending summer. Yeah.
Well, I think too, you had actually written me a letter that I never got.
And emails.
I never got those. And we actually found the letter a year ago.
Yeah. So 4 years later.
Oh, that's cool.
So that is a testament to the fact that it's totally God's timing, because I wrote her a letter and like three emails, and she didn't get any of them. And then during, you know, when we reached out about the conference, she saw the message and responded. So that was such a God thing. Just the timing was all in his hands, you know.
I think it's kind of funny, too, because, like, even through that time period of you sending that letter, me not seeing the letter,
yep.
Like just sometimes, you know, the dryer eats your socks, but the food truck eats mail.
Yep.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So I have to know, Leanne. So was it just like, oh, I really like the way she plays the guitar, and hey, I think she'd be a good addition. Was it just a random thing that when you decided to invite her to stay for the summer?
I am very intentional about who I ask to be on the road with me, period. I've had a lot of people travel with me over the years, and I've endured some things because of that that I would never pray upon anybody. I think you need to be very intentional and fervent, yes, when you pray, because when you're on the road for Jesus, you want that clarity. And when people may be not healthy for you to be having around, you know, it can be something that can wreck out your road trip. And I went through some of that wreckage in relationships for a season. And the people in our life that are really, really close to us, as far as in our inner circle, interceded and walked with us through that, and counsel from elders, counsel from older people, just in them saying, hey, you got to keep moving your feet here, you know, and not focus on the distractions. And so I placed Bert being here now with a prayer that JW had been praying for a long time. He had prayed for a long time because he used to ride bucking bulls and he would travel a lot. And I went with him for a long time, but then I was staying home a lot more, especially when we have kids. And then the Lord started calling me to go different places. And from the very beginning, I remember JW specifically voicing out, you know, at one point, I'm praying that God sends you somebody to be,
oh, cool,
and you know, your person, you know, and of course I feel like the same thing with Bert. Like I'm her person, like God sent her. So just as though he was praying for someone for me to have, her parents and different people in her life have prayed for her to have that someone too. So it's kind of been a neat thing to know that this is all because of prayer. And you don't think about those daily prayers because it might have been a passing prayer, but God heard that prayer.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you must have known once you met her, oh, this is the one that needs to.
When she started to play and sing, something in my spirit just leapt, and I just said, you know, hey, you want to come hang out with me for the summer? And you know, this is what I do in ministry, and I would love to have a partner to go with. And she was, yeah. You know,
yes.
And then she explained to me, God told me this like a year ago. You know, I just remember like these conversations, and I was like, that's so rad that, you know, God spoke to me in the whisper, because he didn't have to scream at me. He didn't have to yell at me. It was a silent whisper, and it was, yeah, I know. She could have said no. I'm glad she didn't.
That's right. That's right. But God had already prepared her for that answer, didn't
that's right.
he?
Yeah.
And so that's where God works. That's where God works. And so, all right. So go ahead so she's asked you to stay for the summer, and now it's 5 years later.
Yes. Yeah. So to answer the Bert question, when I moved to Oklahoma, it was everybody at the house has a nickname. Everybody gets a nickname. And I think for a while, Wacy, he doesn't always remember everybody's name, and he usually gives the nicknames, I feel like, him or JW.
So we were foster parent for 12 years, and every kiddo that would come through our house, we've had 60 kids come through the house, whether it be a long-term, and we didn't do very many long-term, but emergency placements. Well, Wacy could never, from the time he was like three, you know, could never remember anybody's name that was at the house. So he would always give them nicknames. You know, there might be an Anthony, and he might call him Jim. You know, it was just like, that was just, and you'd say, no, that's Anthony. And he'd say, oh, come on, Jim, let's go play in the tree. You know, I mean, just,
yeah,
I don't know why he would do that, but he did that, you know, with Littlefoot. She's Elsie Grace is our 6-year-old, soon to be 7-year-old. And he named her. Her name was a different name. Her birth parents gave her a name prior to us getting to adopt her. But we never called her by the name given at birth, because Wacy said her name is Elsie. And Max said her name is Grace. Her middle name will be Grace. But her nickname landed Littlefoot, and most people on social media and that we see in the public have no idea what her real name is. They're like, how's Littlefoot, you know?
Right.
And so all of our kids seem to have these. We've got Pistol and Fire and Doodle.
We do nicknames at our house too.
Yeah.
And my husband is usually the one that comes up with them. And so I think it's just a way of saying, hey, we love you. You're a part of the family.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is who you are. Who
there was no grand story about how you got Bert, but it was just kind of like, okay.
We were just goofing around, and I said something about the name Bert, and JW kind of looked at me, and he was like, that, you know, it was so random that it was like, okay, well, then that's your new nickname. And, you know, so, and my grandpa's nickname was actually, everybody called him Bert. That was what he went by. So,
and JW Hart did not know that.
Yeah.
He did not have a
no
clue.
Idea. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Super neat.
So Bert, see, that's why I had to look. I mean, I know you as Bert.
Yep.
I mean, it just sticks. I mean, it, that's just,
yep.
That's who you are, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that's your name. Like I said, that's not who you are.
Yeah.
But, all right. So tell me a little bit more about you ladies. I mean, it's been 5 years. What have you ladies been doing?
Oh. Well. That's like a wide
loaded
open.
I know it. So you ladies have been traveling and you've been ministering in different places. And have you been traveling several places here lately, or, you know, just a little bit about what you,
you know? So it gets me tickled because, you know, COVID hit in 2020 and everybody was kind of shut down. The world was very settled in that moment. You know, we were all called to work, to rest. And our worship looked very different in that season. We had conferences that were canceled. We ended up doing some over and online just to kind of keep that movement going. I don't remember where Bert was at, but whenever Mother's Day weekend kind of came back around, we were waiting for the conferences to kind of kick off. And I know a lot of things got canceled for a lot of people during that time. We received cancellations because we all had to sit in a minute, you know, and to be still, couldn't travel. And I got called to go to a church in Missouri Mother's Day weekend before the world really opened back up, like everyone was really opening back up. No, you weren't with me. I wish you would have been with me. I always want you with me. And and it was funny because it was like the traveling was like going and doing this thing. And I was told these restrictions, and I hadn't really been watching the news, so I was just like, okay. And I felt like kind of like I was going rogue with the gospel, because I remember traveling over the state, over the border in Oklahoma, going crossing over into Arkansas. I picked a girlfriend of mine up and then we crossed into Missouri, you know, and I was like, this is kind of fun. I feel like we're like underground railroad the gospel right now, you know, and because this church was sort of like that. They never really quit having church. They said they tried. So we tried. They said we'd shut down and we'd come hide in here on a Sunday and we'd try to park our cars around the back. But before you knew it, people were knocking on the front door. So we'd have to move everybody up and move everybody back or whatever. And we'd move the screen up because we weren't supposed to be meeting together. He said, but we could not get people to quit coming to the door.
Oh, wow.
And we could not tell them no. And there were 300 people in this church that day. I'll never forget. I was like, this is pretty amazing. Like, it's not even fully open. Like, oh man, we're doing something crazy, you know, and who knows what it's going to come to in the future,
right,
to get the gospel out. But that may have been just a taste tester. And then of course we got back into the movement. I have personally never called to go anywhere to do anything. I've always just responded to people asking me and giving me an invite to come. For 14 years, I've never said, hey, can I come give my testimony? Cause that's never been my idea. I wanted to be Reba just in, you know, and then God was like, there's only one, you know,
there's only one Reba.
Only one.
But I could see it. I mean,
but I, you know, I really thought that my career would be in music, and I love worship. I love it. But my aunt said one day, she said, Leanne, you're going to be speaking a lot more than you're going to be singing. And we do still sing. Absolutely. I love to worship. My daughter is following in those footsteps. But we have been very busy, and because we do serve locally at our church, we are involved in Ardmore, Oklahoma with Generations Church. We serve there on the worship team when we're home on Sundays, and we try to do as many Wednesdays as we can because we're not home a lot on the Sundays. I used to try to say, Lord, we're going to go once a weekend. And then J.W. Hart needed me to haul buckables different places. So then I was like, well, we're going to do two a weekend, you know,
yeah.
And then it might be three weekends out of the month that we're gone, and we might only be home on a Sunday, but we have such an incredible family in our church family. They just want us there when we can be there. They want to love on us. And we get to kind of go in and give them a break because, you know, which is good. And so we you know, have a little routine that we, you know, have a little rhythm that we fall into of relieving others. And we stay really, really busy. We stay really steady. We're in a season of really busy right now. This summer's been super busy. I cannot wait to go to my dad's next week because we're going to go to the beach for a few days. But the following week, JW was stacking on me more busy. And I was like, and he could hear it in my voice, and I just had to take a breath away from the phone so he didn't hear me exhale. You know, because we just do. But yeah, it's a busy season of going and ministering, whether it's at women's conferences, whether it's at bull ridings. We'll be doing Amarillo with the American Buck and Bull Incorporated in a few weeks.
just we do church there for the bull fraternities that they have on a Sunday, on a Saturday morning. We do full service there. Wow. We haul our own sound in there and we set up and we have a full team. We have a ministry team that we travel with. I messaged everyone this morning and got back. Everybody was like, let's do it, you know, and because we're a team and I don't like to do anything by myself. That's something about me that I don't really like to do anything. I lived for so long thinking I only needed to do it in my own strength. And it's such a lie. And so I'm a super delegator. I've got, my kids are with three people right now at home. JW is in California. We're here. And I just can't do anything by myself. I didn't want to be in that, you know, pageant that mom had me in that I talked about at the conference earlier when I was a senior, because I was like, I don't want to do this. So I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, I need everybody to do it with me, you know?
And that's right.
That's part of who I am. I've always been that way. I like quiet time. It's good. I love to get by myself. But when I'm doing life, I like to do it with people.
That's right. And don't you think that's what God intended for us to do?
Yeah.
He doesn't intend for us to be alone. Yeah. He doesn't intend for us to do things alone.
Yeah.
And so I believe that that's what God intends for us. You know, and as you were talking, and you said you're going to go, you said your father, going to your father's at the beach.
Yeah, going to daddy's.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we had this conference this weekend, and one of the things that one of the speakers said was, what does peace with God look like for you? Isn't that right? Or rest.
Yeah.
What does rest in God look like for you? And so,
I had shared.
Yes, you had shared about that a little bit.
We have been in Ezekiel a lot. And we've been in Ezekiel 47. And if you go to that scripture and you dig a little bit, I'm going to paraphrase here, but it's talking about going deeper. It's, you get, you know, Ezekiel's having a vision and he goes ankle deep. Then he goes into the water and he goes knee deep. And then he goes waist deep. And then he goes all in. And so when she had, mentioned taking a minute to ask God, what does rest look like for you? I automatically got this picture of me standing in the water, and it was where we go to the beach at dad's. So I was like, oh good, this is good. And, I pictured myself ankle deep, and then I went a little bit deeper. And then before you know it, I wasn't like waist deep, like the scripture was talking about, but the next picture was me on a pink floaty. And then I was all in. It was like, I was in the deep, but I was breathing. God was breathing for me in the deep. Like I wasn't struggling underwater. I was in all the way submerged, all the way in the water. And that is what rest looks like to me, is when God, I'm allowing his breath to move inside of me, even when I'm having the hard days, even when I'm going through the tough things. And I was like, gosh, that is rest for me, is whenever I realize that it's not even my own breath that's in me. Like, I just have to say yes to him, you know, in all things. And I want to go into the deep. It's scary sometimes because it's dark there sometimes. And
that's right. And the unknown.
The unknown is hard to kind of get past from time to time. It's because we are so human. We are so, gosh, we just see what we see. And yet we have Jesus who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we actually do have the ability to have a different perspective, because we do have eyes in the sky, is what I've kind of joked about that. I'm like, we do. Because he's up there and he sees the bigger picture for us.
That's right.
And he's planted up there as our hope. Uh-huh. And there's so much peace in that, keeping your eyes on Jesus, knowing that he's already prepared a place for you and all the things. But today when she said that, I was like, oh man, that's really neat to think about his breath being that peace.
And isn't that like God? It seems that God will tend to lead us in places where we are depending on him.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but in a good way, because we tend to get into a comfort zone.
Yeah.
I call it sometimes coasting, and God doesn't want us to coast. I believe he wants us to grow and to move forward into the deep waters, and he wants to be that breath for us.
We talk about Acts a little bit. Share with where we were.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said that so beautifully, but we do takeaways, and I was thinking about the takeaway that I got from when she shared that was, like, sometimes God does call you deeper in order to, when it's his breath. If you're breathing underwater, you know, it's not your own breath. It's not your physical breath, because you can't breathe underwater.
Right.
So if the breath of God is the only thing that can't be quenched, and, you know, if you're called to the deep and you're breathing the breath of God, sometimes we're called deeper to drown out everything of the flesh that is stealing our breath above water. Because we're not, whatever can be quenched of breath in the physical or mentally or whatever, then whatever doesn't operate out of the breath of God, I guess is what I'm trying to say, then it can be drowned out. Go ahead and drown it out. Like, if I'm called deeper to drown out the things that don't belong, that are stealing my own breath, I would rather breathe the breath of God and let everything else
Amen.
Be drowned out. You know, that you go with X.
Well, the what I'd said earlier was just that we have life group at our house, and we've had it for 9 years. And we've walked through all of the Gospels. We've done different topical stories throughout the years, but it literally took, I think, maybe 5 years. We were doing the Gospels before Bert was there. But we had started the Gospels because we've had so many people come through the house on a Monday night. Some people might be traveling. They just pop in, want to see what that's like, and they might take it to a different state and start their own life group. And so anyway, we went through the Gospels, got done with the Gospels, and we're like, where are we going to go next? And I was like, Acts. It's next. And so we just got done with Acts and fell in love with it all over again. You can't even have any, there's no way to even picture the church without going and studying
right.
Acts. Right.
That's right. I mean, that's what the church is supposed to look
yeah.
like. Yes.
Oh my goodness. And one of the last stories is Paul is traveling and they're taking him to Rome. The ship. He gets shipwrecked, right? And so I love that he is stripped of every, they're stripped of this materialistic boat that they're believing is going to be their savior and that saving place. This we cannot live if we do not have this boat. There's a storm, you know, all of the things. And there's a lot to that story, but sometimes God will take all of that away so that you're just totally, all the things of the world, you know, sometimes everything seems like you're stripped of every outlet because he wants to be your sole source in that moment so that you hear his voice, that you respond to the path that he's laid before you. And so I think that is such a beautiful picture. Like we go through these trials and I feel like, especially in the last couple of years, we've walked through some things where God has been trying to get our attention to get alone with him.
Yes. Draw in
draw.
To him.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Like go to that place so that you can learn that when it's time to get out of the practice pen into the public pen, you know, the private pen to the public pen, you're prepared because you've spent time with the source. And all of the things in the world could not give what the source can give you. So he takes it all away, and we learn to become completely dependent upon him. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, like the people in that story that were with Paul had nothing but the opportunity to say yes to that faith in that moment. Well, we don't have faith, but we're going to lean in on that guy's faith because he's trusting somebody, some God,
right.
somewhere. So we're going to, and who knows who came to the kingdom, who said yes to Jesus because of Paul being the weirdo that was going to say, hey, we're going to lose the boat. It's going to be lost in the storm, but we're going to all make it to the shore. That's rad.
That's, yeah.
It's like,
you know,
some good stuff.
Yeah, that is so good. And you know, I was thinking this come to mind that when you're underwater and you think about it, when you go swimming and you actually go underwater, when people are trying to get your attention, you can't hear.
Ah, it's good. Yeah.
And it made me think of that scripture that says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that God has really been showing me here lately is that we're supposed to look different. We're supposed to be different.
Yeah.
And like you ladies were sharing this weekend, that to be Jesus to those people
mm-hmm.
by, you know, not listening to the voices of the world,
yeah.
but trusting and relying on his breath
yeah.
and what he has to say.
I think, too, like as Christians, as we walk and as we talk and as we make choices and we're presented with these opportunities to respond in a Christ-like way, even whenever we're in the middle of the Walmart checkout line. I love studying the Word of God because it's such a presentation of this invitation to take part of this life
mm-hmm.
in a way that may be opposite of what you've ever done before. And Paul does that so well, not because of his old life, but because he's surrendered. And he's like, every day, listen, you're going to have to remember to put your new clothes on. Like, you're not wearing the old garments anymore. Like, we're doing a new thing here.
That's right.
And Paul is an inviter for everybody to kind of hang out with him. Let's do it this way. And I like that Paul wasn't he wasn't like this big demanding person. It was more of an invitation. He wasn't afraid to be honest with you. I mean, God is, you know, he's kind, but he's not soft when it comes
right.
to certain things. But he was always welcoming and inviting to anyone and everyone to take, this is for everyone. There are no Jews anymore. There are no Gentiles anymore. Like, this is for everyone. Like, God sent Jesus for everyone. And right. I think that that's a tough one when we look in the world, at the world today. We're so easily offended about all the things. And then we're easily manipulated because we're so easily offended. And we've been talking about this here lately. Like, if we're easily offended, I want to analyze, why am I easily offended about this? Because I want to be refined. I don't want to be like so super easily offended. Like, Jesus wasn't.
Right.
You know,
yes.
So, and he walked in and amongst the people that put pressure on him in public to respond. And he did it. And I'm like, I know he was Jesus. We know all that. But it's like, man, if he wasn't easily offended, and that's who's living in me, then I have an opportunity to be like that. So I better be still with him for a minute longer so that I can learn how to respond that way, you know.
That's right, to refine us. Yeah. So you had said when I asked you to sing the song, Let Me Tell You About My Jesus, that kind of was your theme song for the camps and things like that. Now, do you guys have a theme song this year that you feel like God has been putting on your heart that you have been taking with you to all your events?
Yeah, probably Send Me, which is where we started. We sort of went there a little bit last night. Send Me is one that we just want to go where he wants us to go.
Yeah. Send Me, Here I Go, just like in that song.
Yeah.
God is on the move. Well, do you think that is something we could get you ladies to play for us?
Sure.
All right. Well, as you're getting those things ready, you minister by invitation, and you usually don't go out and try to, but you wait for those invitations to come in. So how do people get in contact with you if they would like for you to come and be a part of a women's meeting or your youth or whatever ministry type they may be seeking? How can they get a hold of you, ladies?
I do have a website, Leanne Hart Ministries. So there's avenues that way through email. I have social media under Leanne Hart Ministries as well as JW and Lee. I think that's my tag name. I'm really bad at that, but I have Facebook, Instagram, and all the things. And I think my phone number is out there somewhere, which has kind of been funny because I've had some pretty random people call me that are like, I had no idea this would be you. And I'm like, I didn't know it was there. So it's somewhere too. If you look hard enough, you will find it.
Yeah.
And so pretty easy to find.
It's just Leanne Hart Ministries, .org or com or.
I don't know. I'll have to check it out.
But just look for Leanne Hart Ministries.
Sure, .com or .org.
I don't know. I know. There's so many choices. So many .net or something.
I think it's com.
What is your, how do they get in touch with you?
I just have Instagram and Facebook, and I'm not Bert on Facebook. I'm Meg Lynch, Meglynch. And then my Instagram is, I think it's Megan Brian, MEGAN_BRIANN.
Okay, there you go. All right, ladies, whenever you're ready, you can kick it off.
I totally just looked before we got started, and it is .com.
.com, there you go.
All right, there you go, .com.
Learning Leanne something Hart brand Ministries, new right there.
Yeah, .com.
Right there.
All
there
right.
We go. If it's bandaging the broken, washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree, here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm poor, if I'm wealthy, I'll serve you just the same. Here I am, Lord, send me. On the mountain or the valley, I will choose to praise. Here I am, Lord, send me. And if I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. Because I love you. I
I'll say it anyway. And here I am, Lord. Send me, and if it means that they'll reject me, Lord, I will still obey. Here I am, Lord. Send me, and if I'll know by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, because I love you. I love you. When I'm standing in your glory, I'll be glad I chose to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Well done, good and faithful. I long to hear you say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Oh, oh, oh. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Yeah. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And if I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, because I love you. I love you. And if I know by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, because I love you. I how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, yes, I love you. Oh, how I love you. Because you.
He loves us. What do we do? What? Why do we do what we do? It's because he loves us. Send me, here I go, and I will say yes. And so with that being said, you know, Bert, you had said a little bit about how you came in under Leanne and she has been a mentor to you. Mm-hmm. And how important do you think that that is when you want to grow in the Word and what God wants you to do?
Yeah, I think discipleship is so huge because we do live in a world that's very, I am enough for myself. You are enough for yourself. You can do it in your own strength, and we can't. And it's so important to be surrounded by those people that are going to pour positive things into you and just pour the Word back into you, because for one, we've got plenty of the, you know, nasty worldly stuff that we need to vomit out. And so when all that's okay. gone, we need people to pour back into us. And also the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion. He wants to pour out the evil that he can, whatever he can. And so I think having those people that you can come up under and that will disciple you, just from the Word, because Leanne has never just poured Leanne into me. She has poured the Word of God into me, and that's so important. And just surrounding yourself in that way, because this weekend I felt like God laid it on my heart about how Nehemiah, how he was going to rebuild the wall, and how
nowadays there is the wall, the line between right and wrong, and it's just the enemy wants to tear it down, and it's no disguise that he wants to tear it down. And there's a verse in Nehemiah 4 that says when the enemy realized that it had been made known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, I feel like we're living in that day and age where it's so important that we do rebuild the wall, because we're not called to just sit on the sidelines and cry about the ruins or what looks like ruins, because we know the war's already won and we know that the enemy has already been defeated. And so to see in our world today what might look like ruins of where is the line, you know, where do we stand when the world is so gray, the word is so black and white, and we can use the word to rebuild that wall. And so to have those people that are willing to, you know, they were constructing the wall and God had made the enemy's plot nothing. And so they were able to, with one hand, a sword in one hand, and with the building materials in the other, they strategically built on the wall together. And I know that God has placed people in my life and brought me to where he's got me now to strategically build my life, because the world that we're living in today is so gray, and it's so important to have that strong foundation of the word, because he meant what he said, and he said what he meant, and to have that, those people that are willing to, when you're tired, they've got the sword with you.
That's right.
And they're building with you, and they're fighting with you, and they're encouraging you in the word. It's not, and I can do it on my own, in my own strength. I don't need help. Situation we're in, we need to rally together. And so I'm so thankful that God's brought me where he has, with the hearts, and that's my team to rally together.
Your people. We all need our people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we really need our people. And, you know, Leanne, you had mentioned that, and you did too, Bert, that, you know, going through some things over the last couple of years, you know, the world has seen a lot of things, like you said, in the gray, and we've all had personal things that we're walking through. And one of the things that we talked about this weekend was the process, going through the process.
Yeah.
And so the process doesn't always look the way we think it's supposed to look, and it doesn't feel the way that we think. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. You know, when Bert was speaking, and when you were just speaking, one thing I was hearing, and she was reading out of the Message version the other day and decided not to go with that version in Ephesians 6. But one of the things I remember, and what she was just talking about in Nehemiah in the Old Testament in chapter 4, and the rebuilding of this wall of stone and brick. And today we talked a little bit about the standing in the gap and rebuilding the righteousness, you know, of Christ, basically, is what we're talking about. But there, when we think about what it looks like today to build a wall, it's hard not to break your mind away from a brick wall. And
that's right.
A brick and mortar. It's hard to not break away from that. But I really feel like more than anything, it's a wall of righteousness. It's a wall of truth. It's the wall of salvation. It's the wall of faith. It's the wall of freedom. It's the wall of forgiveness. You know, it's the wall that God has said, I, it's my wall.
Yeah.
And so just stand on my word, stand in my righteousness, stand in my truth, stand in my salvation, stand in my freedom, stand in this forgiveness. And so I look at that, and when you were speaking, that's what I was hearing the Holy Spirit say, even through what you were sharing in that moment, that, you know, it's God did this first. We talked about that this weekend. If we believe that he is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning, he is the end, that we were created in the very image of God, formed in his image, deformed by the enemy because he comes and mingles with our mind and messes with us. But we've been given this opportunity through Jesus to accept him as our personal savior. And therefore, we're taking off these old garments and we're putting on this new way of thinking, this new life. Like we're taking off the old and we're doing this new thing. And process for us is weird, but it's not for Jesus, because it's right then and right there. Like the moment that you accept him in your heart is like you did a thing, and it's and start letting him work. And I've looked at this before. Years ago, I went to a Catholic church, and one of my good friends is a Catholic priest, and so there's family, I have family that are Catholic, and I was asked to go to a Catholic marriage retreat and to speak at this marriage retreat. And the priest, my friend, my brother in Christ, said, do not tell anyone that you're not Catholic. And it was kind of like a joke. And I was like, I am not an actress. This is going to be terrible. You know, I just remember thinking, oh, my gosh. And he said, you know, has God given you a word? And what's the Lord laid on your heart before you get here? And I was like, oh, my goodness, what is the Lord laid on my heart? And I knew that, like, the majority of my family in South Louisiana, they're all Catholic, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a really big deal. And I didn't really understand that. And it's okay that I don't. I don't really understand a lot of things about a lot of things until I start talking to people and they start expressing them, you know, their reasons or whatever. Anyway, one of the things that manifested that weekend throughout that whole walk was really neat, because I was asking the Lord to reveal something special about Mary, the mother of Jesus. This little virgin girl that was, you know, had this immaculate conception, this miraculous thing that took place. And it was like really neat the way that he presented this to me, because I was like, ah, that's so good. It's like this aha moment, you know, but she felt him. She felt Jesus. She's felt the Holy Spirit in her spirit before she felt him in her flesh. And no one experienced that but her. And that's salvation. You know, like in the first sense of the knowing, like, the Holy Spirit breathes into life into you, Jesus Christ. You're like, the Holy Spirit baptizes you in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, this supernatural thing takes place on the inside of you, and no one else knows it, you know? And and so this confession that we have, if I've made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life at this moment, that doesn't mean you're going to live that way, because that's just your outward expression in that moment. Just like baptism, water baptism, you're choosing to do it. You're making an outward expression of this inward choice that you've made. But Mary, I mean, experiences the Holy Spirit within her womb. And then all of a sudden, these changes start taking place, all because she said yes first. Radical changes. And so I look at Paul's life, and you know that he has to go in hiding for 3 years or however many years. Some theologian could probably school me on that. But he goes in to private because he has this radical encounter on this road to Damascus, and he's out loud going to slay people that are, well, there's so much evidence of Jesus, not just in them, but up on them in this place called Damascus. And I'm like, man, I want to be that person that I don't just leave him just housed on the inside of me. Like, I want to expose him for all the good things that he is. I want people to see him on me, not just in me, you know. And Mary couldn't help that. But that's what a beautiful picture of that knowing that the process of that pregnancy and the process of what she was walking through. That's a beautiful thing to think about that. Like, he's like, I'm coming through you. I'm coming through you. Oh my goodness. I'm coming to do a thing, and I'm working my way in and through your life.
Yes.
You know, like, that's super rad. And then we've got this, the word of God to study and to love on and to lean on. And you got Paul, who's like, I'm going to go slay some Christians. I'm going to go slay these people, because there's so much evidence of Jesus on them in Damascus. I've got a warrant for their arrest, you know, because there's so much evidence of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, is there enough to convict you of it? Yeah, that's
my goodness.
That's right.
Yeah. And so that's our wall. That's repairing the wall right there. Like, go and be a fruit bomb to somebody. You know, be a Holy Spirit fruit bomb to somebody. Be the righteousness of Christ. Be the truth. Mm-hmm. Because living didn't start with you. Truth didn't start with you. Salvation didn't start with you. Freedom and faith, none of it started with you. But it can roll through you.
That's right. That is so good, you know, and I think about the process, and so, and people that want that, you know, it's time for us to rise up and to be Jesus to people. And so would one of you be willing to pray for the listeners out there? They're going through the process, and they are seeking the things of God, and they're ready to get out into the deep waters. And so would you be willing to pray for those people, those listeners that are out there, that can be encouraged?
Absolutely. And I love looking at Bert right now, because I'm like doing the head nod, like, you go, girl. You got this, because that's part of that discipleship. And this isn't, and that's just part of it. And she knows it.
Yeah.
She knows it. And so if I feel the Lord lay a word on me in that, I will definitely impart that prayer as well. But I'd love if Bert would just kind of lean into that, because it's a generational thing. And there is fruit in your youth.
Amen.
All right. Lord, we are so, so thankful for this opportunity. Lord, you know where and who this will reach, Father. So we thank you for everyone that is gathered together with us in spirit, Father. We thank you for the connection that you give. Lord, your Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just want to have our eyes open to see you moving even in the process, even when there's a painful situation, we want to see your purpose in the painful situation. And when there's a promise that's fulfilled, Lord, we want to praise you in the midst of it. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so even in the process, that we would cling to your constant word, that we would just have the courage to hold fast to our convictions, Lord, because the world is certainly holding fast, Father, to the things of this world. And so we want to hold fast to the things of your word. Lord, we want to press into those things. We won't compromise. Lord, even when the process is, when we're unsure, you are so certain. And so, Lord, we just press into you and lean our full weight into you, Lord. We want to rely fully on you. We won't move until you speak, Father. And even when you speak for us to move and we don't have the details, Lord, I pray for somebody that feels like they're called to just step, but they're not sure what the next step is, Lord, that they would just take that jump of faith to know that you would fill in the details. And for somebody that's having to make a choice between one option or the other, Lord, that you would give them that discernment. Father, I pray that you would just, Lord, you just do what you do. Lord, that we ourselves would get out of the way and allow you to do what you do. Lord, that you would reach down and pick us out of the pit, pick us up out of the pit, Lord, that we would have our eyes open to that. Lord, we know that you don't waver, that you don't go back on your promises. Your word never returns void. Lord, would you open our spiritual eyes to not see the things that are in front of us, Lord. We don't fix our mind on the things of this world. We fix our mind on the things that are where Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we don't look at the temporary things, at those things that are trying to distract us and to destruct us. Lord, we thank you for your promise and that it is such a sturdy rock. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand no matter the circumstances, Lord. We thank you for your will and your way in our lives, Lord, and that nothing can separate us from your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to add to that real fast, just for whoever is listening to this, that they would know that there's no cancer in heaven. Mm-hmm. There's no depression in heaven. There's no worry. There's no anxiety. There's no hurt. Mm-hmm. And I just pray for peace that would surpass all understanding for those that are battling with those earthly things I just spoke of right there and right then. That they would just lean in and hear the voice of the Lord, of the peace that is available right now in the middle of their walk. That they would lean in and that they would hear the healer whisper mm-hmm. in their ear, I am for you. I am not against you. So, Father, I just pray for supernatural healings to even be released. That heaven would just invade homes. Heaven would invade cars. Mm-hmm. Heaven would invade these electronics, these smartphones, these computers, whatever it is, that heaven would just invade the radio waves, that heaven would just invade the atmosphere, that heaven would invade the ears that hear as this increase, and that in the increase, that there would be an expansion of kingdom, that those that have really battled with their mind would feel a peace. The peace of heaven surpass all understanding. And rest, truly rest in Him that's available right now.
Yes, amen. I hope that you were blessed by this today. And as you're listening out there, reach out to LeanneHartMinistries.com and Meg Lynch on Facebook if these ladies have blessed you in any way. And I'm really sad, and I can't believe it, but our hour is up. I'm like, no, it can't be. We need some more time. I don't want it to end. I just love talking to Jesus and how much He loves us and He has good things for us.
Yeah.
But we just thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I want to remind you that we do have our website, SundayNightLive.org, and also I'm really excited to announce that we're moving into another way to listen, and that's through podcast. And so if you want to go out and share those podcasts and listen to it later after it's been aired, and also on our website as well. And we just want to thank you guys so much for tuning in again, and have a good night, and we will see you next week.